Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz family of companies. With an endless supply of energy, he deploys his experience and passion to unleash the potential in others and share the stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. This is the Haney Biz Project in full pursuit of our mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. And I got to ask you right now, are you hanging or are you banging, Sacramento? Because if you are hanging, that's cool. We all need our downtime, our relaxed time. But if you are banging, that means that you are performing at your very best. Full speed toward our peak performance, full speed attack to our very best opportunity. Banging full speed, that's when the magic happens. And today, we are all in, we are all out. And I've got a co-host today that you're not going to believe is here today. We have the opportunity to have the co-host of the century, Josiah Johnson, a seventh grader who he knows a little bit about going all out on the basketball court, don't you, sir?
Yes, sir.
So now, Josiah, you're helping me with the show today, but I want to ask you a little bit about yourself because not everybody knows Josiah Johnson. Give us a little bit of your background.
Well, playing basketball is something that I've always loved to do. I've always had, like, the killer mentality that when I step on the court, no one can stop me, that I'm the best player on the court. And then having, like, family members to help me, like, pursue my dream of being an NBA player is something that I love to do, and I love working on my game and being in the gym every day, just getting shots up. It helps me, like, that's something that I love doing.
Now, talk to us about work ethic, right? So as entrepreneurs, we've got to it takes a little bit of hard work. How does that work out in terms of basketball?
Well, work ethic is something that you need to do, and, like, it's, like, something that it's a trait that I got from my dad, and that I just have a work ethic that I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes, and that I've also learned sacrifice from him, that work ethic is, like, you just need to have that to pursue anything that you want to do.
When are you at your very best?
I'm at my very best when I have something called dog, and that's, like, the mentality and having the killer mentality that when I step on the court, I'm the best player on the court. And that's, like, saying that, like, no one's going to stop me. And that's, like, talking to somebody, like, getting in their head. And, like, every shot that I take is wet. And just talking to myself that, like, I'm the best player on the court.
Did you call it dog?
Yeah.
How did you arrive at that term?
I don't know, because, like, my dad's team, CJBA, every time we had a practice, it was always a dog fight. And so that was, like,
it's never easy.
No.
It was very cool.
Like, very competitive practices.
All right, give me a big win story for Josiah Johnson. What's that look like?
It was probably just recently when we had a Yellow Jackets tournament, and a team, like, came on, and before the game, they were talking to me, like, oh, you guys are about to lose. You guys are trash. And I was like, okay. I was just, like, taking in all the feedback, like, that's not true.
Yes.
So the game started, and, like, they were just talking a lot of mess, and I was like, okay. So I just gave it to God, and then the start of the game, I was just working. And, like, I had at least, like, 25 or 27 points. Like, I was just carrying my team. And I was like, we're not losing this game. And then our last play, we were just locking up on defense, got the steal, and then it was game. And I was, like, really happy because that was to go to the championship.
Never underestimate Josiah Johnson. Now, did you go after the game and have to shake these guys' hands and stuff?
Yeah.
How did that feel?
I was, like, I knew they were mad because, like, during the game, they're, like touching me, like, pinching me. I was like, can you stop? But I saw they were
That's
frustrated.
More brutal than entrepreneurship. I mean, entrepreneurship is a full contact sport. I didn't know they did pinching in basketball. We got Anthony Tolliver coming up in a little bit. We'll ask him about that, if that's, if he's ran into that kind of stuff in the NBA. But one last question. Who are you more like, your mom or your dad?
I'm very much more like my dad.
Oh, really? Okay, because I know your mom and dad, and they're great people, but you're more like your dad, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, and I guess the final question, you know, we get our sense of humor a lot of times from our mom and our dad. They're kind of like the first role model comedians that we have. They're the funny guys. My dad used to kind of, you know, when the ice cream man used to come around, you know, you hear the music. Right. My dad used to tell us that, you know what, that means he sold out of ice cream. Like, Dad, come on now. But that's where we get our sense of humor. You've written a joke book,
yeah.
right? And give us a little bit of what inspired you for that joke book and maybe a little humor as we go into the break.
All right. Well, it was like I've always loved making people laugh. And like during school and stuff, like I was always the class clown. And so like making people laugh is something that I've always loved to do. And like I just thought like I've been telling jokes and like I've like had the skill to like look at something in particular. Like I wasn't consistent with it, but I could look at something and like make a joke about it. And so like I like my dad told me to start writing them down, so I did, and then I gave it to his team at Rapid Brands and they created the book.
Yeah, now it's available on Amazon if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
All right, give us a joke as we go into break.
All right, I'll
make us
you
laugh.
One that
make
I our, just
make
made.
The old man entrepreneur laugh if
okay.
you can.
I'll give you one that I just made yesterday. And it's what vehicle goes around in your mind?
Volkswagen?
No. Your train of thought.
Oh, I like that. Very cool. Very succinct. And after the break, you, like I said before, you're going to meet Anthony Tolliver. Excuse me, not after the break. A little bit later in the show, besides professional basketball, Anthony is also a successful investor and an entrepreneur. But after the break, get ready to meet Mr. Motivation, Chris Johnson. Chris will share his incredible story of sitting in the cheap seats at Arco Arena, and now he sits in the courtside seats at Golden One. Coming up after the break, it is Chris Johnson. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now, back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with the Entrepreneurs Advocate, Mark Haney.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by my buddies at Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and today I have Josiah Johnson in the house. He got this thing rocking, but now he's bringing on the old man, the family man, the coach, the motivational speaker, the entrepreneur. That is Chris Johnson.
Hey, hey, Chris? Hey. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I am so inspired by Chris Johnson. Every time I hear you speak, it's something that gives me a light bulb will go off, but also I'm inspired to bring it a little bit more because you bring it every day. Every time you open your mouth, you bring it. Where does that come from?
Hey, man, you know what? I think it's comes from the integrity of knowledge, right? So I know what I know, and I know what I don't know. And I only speak about the things that I know, so I can speak very passionately about that. And there's a lot of things I don't know, so I think it comes
view,
to that.
Yeah, you know, a point of view is worth like 80 IQ points, right? If you can deliver with passion about what you know, it makes such a difference. Okay.
No question.
That's great. Okay, so give us, for those of you that don't know Chris Johnson, let us know who you are.
I'm a family man. You know, I'm a man of God. And I'm a businessman, and you know, and I'm a coach, and you know, I've had some fortunate opportunities to take small ideas and make them to things that are very, very successful. After going on Shark Tank and you know, creating 15 different inventions, and now in over 50,000 retail doors, it's just been a tremendous blessing, man. And I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've had a lot of successes. And I've learned a lot along the way, and, you know, I've been tremendously blessed for it.
I asked Josiah this, and Josiah's going to have a question coming up, but what's a big win story for Chris Johnson?
You know, I'll give you a recent win. You know, I'll give you two. One big recent win is, you know, with the first product that I created, the Rapid Ramen Cooker, I partnered with the biggest ramen company in the world, Nissin Foods Top Ramen, to create the Top Ramen Cooker, and landed that in Walmart right next to the ramen noodles in all the stores. It's just huge.
So that's recent. You were in a different area of the store. Now you are near the noodles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sales velocity almost tripled. And, you know, another major win, you know, we created, you know, and invented a brownie maker. And so instead of making brownies in the oven that takes 30 minutes, you can make it in the microwave 3.5 minutes
wow.
in a small portion. And we partnered with Betty Crocker.
Oh, so, yeah, you know, Betty, she delivers.
So it's amazing. Like I tell you, like it's when you have a vision for an idea, you know, God will give you the first step. But you never know how big that vision would be. Right. When I took that first step of like, man, I have this idea, I'm going to execute. I never knew that it would take me to deals with Betty Crocker, deals with Minute Rice, deals with Top Ramen, 15 different products, and a multi-million dollar company. Right. So it's stepping out on faith and then matching that faith with a work ethic. And man, it's just been incredible.
Well, Josiah, jump in here. You've learned a little bit from your father about work ethic and about stepping out there and about faith. Any question of your dad that you want to share with us?
What's your mindset when you first wake up in the morning and getting ready to go to your office?
That's a great question.
Good.
Yeah, you know, I think mindset is so important. My mindset is to just win the day. Like, you know, so many people, when they get out of bed and they go into their day, their mind's on neutral. So what happens, circumstances can actually push people in their mood, and you can have a bad day because you started on neutral. No, I deliberately, every single day, I start my day with making sure I have the mindset. It's very strategic. The first thing I do while I'm driving out the house, I pray. I pray as far as on the day. And when I get to my office, I have three things that I make sure that I hit my mindset. I have gratitude. You know, I'm thankful for all the things that I have in my life, right? And so I make sure that, you know, I have those three things that I've hit for my mindset. And so when the afflictions or the situations come, my mindset is so high that the situation can't touch it, right? Because it's all about perspective. And so that's how I do my mindset in the morning. That was a great question.
Win the day. I love that. I have a mug that of the same nature, setting habits and routines in the morning. And my mug that sits outside my where I brush my teeth, the sink, it says today. It's from the Today Show. So I think about that, too. It's like, man, today matters. But I also think about my support system. How important is the support system for a guy like Chris Johnson?
You know, it's great, man. I would say my wife, you know, I married up, right? I'm super fortunate. She is my rock. And so I think that's important, you know, having someone when you're not at your best that also keeps you accountable to your best, right?
Yes.
And
what does she say to you? You're better than that.
You know, what she'll say to me is your perspective. Are you having a natural perspective or a spiritual perspective? Right.
Okay.
Because it's all about, you know, and put me in that moment, like giving me words that I have already declared over myself.
Yes.
And making sure I remember those, right?
Calling you out on your own stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so so I think that's a huge support.
Well, I mean, we talk about support system. You and I know each other originally from a group of people we call the Entrepreneurs Organization, EO, and our mantra is all in. What has EO done for Chris Johnson?
You know, EO's been incredible. I think one of the biggest things about EOs, the friendships, but it's also proximity, right? And so proximity, you know, I you heard me say this on Shark Tank, you hang around four broke people, you'll be the fifth. You hang around four people that don't have work ethic, you'll be the fifth. And you hang around four successful people, you'll be the fifth. I think what EO does is just constant proximity. You know, it makes you think bigger. Right. When you have an entrepreneur that's doing a deal that's huge, it's like, wow, like you see that yourself that you can do that. They challenge you, mold you. And so sometimes it's just being in the room. Right. If you're just in the room, now you know and now you can act. So many people don't have the execution because they just don't know. And I think that's why it's so important for opportunities like this, like this show, some of the things we do on Facebook, for the people that are not fortunate to be in that proximity, being able to bless them with that proximity from afar.
Let's talk about the new things that you are doing with public speaking and with helping people to understand your journey. A lot of people know about Rapid Brands and the explosion that's happened throughout retail. But what about helping the next guy in line?
You know, I think that's so important. That's so important for me. Like, you know, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And I have a heart to help people. You know, I since my appearance on Shark Tank, since all the success that has happened, we get inquiries about maybe 100 a week of people that have great ideas in them but don't even know where to start. And I got a heart to help those folks, man. But I have to stay focused. I'm not ready yet. When I'm ready for that, I'm going to go all in on that. So the key is, you know, I started to do this social media, and I created this show called The Journey. And it's an opportunity for people to see how I, you know, create this business, being able to see how I went in and out of the office. And, man, it's taken off.
A day in the life of Chris Johnson.
It's the day in the life. And so I was like, you know what? If I can't reach everybody, at least give them a peek of how they can do it. Because when I come after that, I got a goal, 0 to 1 billion. And that's where I help 1,000 people. I've been really good at taking small ideas and making them million-dollar businesses. So my goal, the legacy that I want to leave, is helping 1,000 people with their ideas, taking it from 0 to $1 million. Helping 1,000 times 1 million is 1 billion. And so that's something that I am going to do. And so I'm going to be blessing a lot of people in the process.
Chris Johnson with confidence and a point of view, and he only speaks about what he knows. And that's why you can speak so passionately. We're gonna ask you to stick around. Josiah is gonna stick around as well. But when we come back, we're gonna meet the multi-talented Anthony Tolliver, successful entrepreneur and Sacramento King. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is the Haney Biz Project. All right, welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by my friends at Five Star Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and today I have the pleasure of bringing on an NBA forward from your Sacramento Kings, number 43, Anthony Tolliver. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
You know what? I am not a sportscaster, as you can tell, but, you know, I try. I have my chance here at KHTK. Let's talk about Anthony Tolliver. You're a businessman, but you're an NBA player. How do you juggle all of that stuff?
Very carefully, and with a very forgiving wife.
Oh, nice. Yes. I can't imagine.
Man. Yeah. So, you know, with my family, obviously I try and make sure that they're a priority, before all of this stuff. You know, my kids, I have 3 kids, 2 boys, 1 girl, wonderful wife. And, you know, for me, it's just about making sure that none of this other stuff gets in the way of them. But sometimes it overlaps, right? You might be in the middle of dinner and I have to take a phone call real quick and different stuff like that. But I just try and make sure that they know that they're a priority. And then after that, you know, obviously basketball is my day job.
Yeah.
And that's what I have to take care of majority of the time. And then whatever time I have left, whether it be 20 minutes or 2 hours in a day, I'll try and work on the rest of my businesses.
Yeah. And when I say I can't imagine to my wife who's out there, I can imagine having a forgiving wife, but I can't imagine the travel schedule and the demands that go into being an NBA player. Let's talk about what that looks like, your day job. Talk to us about your day job a little bit.
It's literally my dream. You know, it's the growing up, had, you know, since kindergarten, I've always said, you know, to my mom and to my siblings and to everybody that would listen, hey, I'm going to make it to the NBA, and it's something that no one else really believed me.
Who is your biggest doubters?
The media.
Ah.
You radio people. it was something that it was so far out of the realm of imagination for everybody besides myself. And I'm not even joking. Like, yeah. I honestly don't even think my parents thought I was going to make it to the NBA. But I never had a doubt that I was going to.
Why did you know that you were, and when did you decide that you were going to?
Well, I mean, there's definitely been doubts throughout, you know, my journey. So there's always going to be those times. But, you know, just getting refocused and refocused on what the goal was, you know, get back in the gym, continue to work hard. You know, for me, it was my biggest thing was it wasn't going to be because of lack of work. It wasn't going to be because it wasn't going to be anything within my control. I was going to control it. Now, if I never got an opportunity because the timing wasn't right or any of that, like that type of stuff, I couldn't help that. But anything that was in my control, I made sure I took care of that. And so that was my mindset. You know, going forward, I was just saying, hey, let me just do whatever I can on my end and leave the rest up to God.
And your path to the NBA wasn't necessarily traditional. How did you get into the NBA after Creighton?
I mean, we don't have enough time to talk about all that on the radio.
Was there one big break, or was it just a series of chipping away?
No, I mean, you know, it's just persistence. It was just about, you know, getting an opportunity, taking advantage of it, making an impression on the right people at the right time. Even though that didn't necessarily turn into an opportunity at that exact moment, it turned into opportunities later. So even though I didn't get the job or whatever at the beginning, you know, I went to camp my rookie year with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I made the team, but I got cut on opening night. And so,
wow.
So I was with them and I got cut, but I made an impression on Mike Brown, on Wes Wilcox, on all these people within the organization who now are all spread around the entire NBA, and who eventually Wes Wilcox, he wasn't even like anything at that point. Like, he was just a part of the organization. And then he became an assistant GM with Atlanta, and that's how I got my Atlanta job. And, you know, and then moving forward after that, I left Atlanta, and the guy, one of the assistant coaches from Atlanta went to Charlotte. He pushed for them to sign me there. So I was there. Van Gundy was out of a job. So he mentored Steve Clifford. Clifford was the coach in Charlotte. So after I left Charlotte, Van Gundy got the Detroit job. Well, I signed with Phoenix, but then he traded for me a month later because he knew about me. So it's all about it's all about making impressions on people at the right time, and it's going that can be the difference between you playing 2 years and 15 years in this league.
The compounding effect of making a good impression and going all out. We see that in entrepreneurship as well. And you are an entrepreneur. Talk to us about business. You got a degree in finance. You're an articulate, smart guy that's had some real success in business off the court as well. Let's give us a sense as to what that is.
Yeah, so this is something I could talk about all day long. But quick analysis of what I do off the court. My base is my real estate company. I have a real estate company back home that's based in Springfield, Missouri. We do developments and all kinds of different stuff real estate wise. And then I started an invention company, actually, which turned into a kids fishing company.
Yeah.
And so I have a kids fishing company that is in Walmart, Bass Pro, Target, all over the country, all over the place, doing really well.
We ran into Brad Miller the other night at a Makuni's event, and yep. Brad said he's one of your partners.
Yep, I brought him on board about 3 years ago.
How is it working with a guy like Brad Miller?
It's interesting. Brad is an interesting guy. No, he's awesome.
He's a
guy.
Country. You kind of picture him with a fishing pole.
Well, that's why I even approached him. I said, yeah. You know, I remember his conversations in the locker room. They were never about basketball. They were about hunting some sort of wild animal, or going fishing in the deep sea or something crazy. Yeah. So I was like, this sounds like a perfect combination, to bring him on board. So and he jumped on board immediately. So have Active Faith, which is a Christian athletic mm-hmm. apparel company.
Yeah, you're wearing that shirt right now. Yeah, yeah. I've seen that. That's cool.
So started that with Lanny Smith. He was a teammate of mine. Got Steph Curry involved, so Steph Curry is an investor in Active Faith. I have Arbit, which is a social media platform that is doing really well. Actually, it's just started in January, but getting a lot of momentum. It's a question asking app.
Oh, okay, yeah, so, we're talking about that.
Yeah, so it's really cool, man. I mean, it's new and it's very unique. It's something that I feel has a lot of potential. So, yeah. Just been.
So you get business partners in all these businesses. I'm wearing a Rizno's shirt, Jeff Rizzo, who introduced you and me, Anthony, and he's got a social media platform that's it does men's sporting goods and that kind of thing. Talk to us about these partnerships. Is that what allows you to go have a full-time job as an NBA player, and then somebody else runs those businesses?
Absolutely. I mean, I invest in people. I don't really invest in businesses. You know, I, like For example, I don't fish.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about fishing, but I have a lot of confidence in my partners and the people who are running that business. And honestly, when we started, they didn't know anything about fishing either. We identified a hole in the market and we attacked it. And so now we went from nothing about 4 years ago, like literally we had zero sales and nothing out there, to being the number two kids fishing and tackle distributor in the world.
Is being a celebrity entrepreneur an advantage or disadvantage?
Definitely an advantage. There's a lot of open doors that get opened because, you know, of who I am.
I'm hoping to find that out one day.
You know, it's just nice. I just get it. You know, it's not like it's easy. You know, you still have to work really hard, and you still have to prove yourself once you're there. I think a lot of people have a mindset about athletes that athletes are athletes, right? You know, that they're not as smart as maybe a businessman or whatever. It's like, well, I'm trying to break that mold. I'm trying to break that mold. You know, now people literally, there's businesses that I help advise or whatever you want to call it. And not all of them are even like formal, you know, type of situations, just like informally will call and ask me my advice, you know, on how to handle different situations. I'm like, I mean,
you're getting known as the entrepreneurial MBA
guy.
Right,
right. Well, it's really cool because, you know, I actually have a really funny story is Zach Randolph about 5 years ago, he on the court, we were playing against each other. I was guarding him on the court. During a free throw, he like looks over at me. He's like, "Hey, man, I got to get involved with your real estate stuff." I was like,
"Zach Randolph,
all right, I'm gonna box you out now, okay?" Like, you know, it's weird, but like, it's funny because I've kept that relationship, and now literally like over the next couple of weeks, we're about to close on our first deal.
Wow!
So we were gonna be
a deal made on the court.
That is probably one of the most unique stories of my business career right there.
Well, you are known as being an unselfish guy, helping the next guy in line on your team, but also you're doing that in the entrepreneurial realm. Give us a big win story for Anthony Tolliver.
A big win story. I mean, just me being here is a big win story, to tell you the truth. Like I said, I kind of defied all the odds being in the NBA, just being in the NBA for 1 second. Let alone now this is going to be my ninth year coming up in the NBA, and 11th year playing professional basketball. So, you know, just, you know, being in the NBA for as long as I have been, I mean, that's enough of a win story. I mean, all these other businesses and stuff that we've taken from literally idea to, you know, multimillion-dollar companies, it's those are just cherries on top to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the goal and the mindset, you know, from the beginning was to make it to the NBA. All this other stuff to me has become like my passion, but it's also just like a cherry on top. It's not they're wins. They're great, but it's just like I just keep getting more and more opportunities and more blessings along the way.
Anthony Tolliver, we're going to ask you to stick around. We're going to go to break, and when we get back, we're going to be talking with Chris and Josiah Johnson. We're going to talk a little bit more about Sacramento and why we love our hometown, but also sharing our thoughts about gratitude. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Haney Biz Investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by my friends at Five Star Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Anthony Tolliver, Chris Johnson, and Josiah Johnson. And, you know, we've been talking a little bit about basketball, a little bit about building businesses, but through each of your stories, I heard gratitude. I heard appreciation for what you have. Josiah, maybe I'll start with you. What are you most grateful for about, you know, the success that you've been able to build?
What I'm grateful for mostly is, like, God, like, gave me an idea to, like, have the opportunity to, like, have a dad that helped me with everything that I've done. And, like, making my own joke book is something that I've always, like, not just that, but, like, being an entrepreneur, because I've seen him do a lot of stuff like that. So, like, I'm really thankful for having God give me the strength and the idea to, like, approach an idea that I've always wanted to do.
Well, you bring up your dad, but it's Mother's Day in a couple of days. Have you decided what you're getting your mom for Mother's Day yet?
I might, like, get her a card, but I usually, like, post a picture about her on Instagram, like, write a big paragraph of how much she means to me.
Oh, that's cool. Great idea for me. I may do that, too. I might steal that. Anthony, let's talk about gratitude. What are you most grateful for? How do you show that gratitude?
You know, just to go along the same lines. I mean, first thing I have to, you know, be grateful for is God and my relationship with Him. I really feel like that's the only reason why I'm here. That's the only reason why I'm in the position I am. That's the only reason why I have the platform that I have is because of my relationship with Him. And, you know, like I said earlier, I'm very grateful for my wife, she's had to move all over the country and all over the world, really. Played overseas as well. So she's moved all over the place, never complained once. She complained once. when we moved from Phoenix to Detroit, she had to complain about that one. So other than that, just been a great sport, you know, with all the business stuff I got going on as well. She's just, you know, very understanding. And so, you know, without her, you know, being my teammate, you know, it's none of this stuff is possible.
And providing you those three beautiful children. Now, Chris, what's gratitude to you? What's gratitude to Chris Johnson?
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, gratitude is the remedy. You know, you can't be grateful and angry at the same time. You can't be grateful and sad at the same time, right? It is a medicine, and especially when that gratitude is, you know, within and as Anthony Tolliver said, you know, I'm grateful for my relationship with God, right? It provides that perspective that no matter where your life is, all things are happening for your good. And being grateful for the good things that are actually in your life.
Yeah.
So those are the reasons I'm grateful.
What about Sacramento? I am grateful for my hometown of Sacramento. It is a tremendous place to there's great people here in Sacramento. There's a lot of opportunity right now. Talk to us, Chris, about opportunity in Sacramento and being grateful to your hometown.
I love Sacramento. I mean, Sacramento is just a awesome place to raise a family. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity, right? It's growing, you know, the new things that are happening with the Kings and the new arena and all the excitement that's happening downtown. Sacramento is a great place to be.
So Anthony, tell us about the Kings a little bit. What can we expect coming up to be grateful for? I mean, I know you guys have a draft coming up. What are you expecting to do?
I have to get notification that they're going to pick up my option, so they can get on that as soon as possible. I think that, you know, the organization is going in a really good direction. You know, obviously they switched gears a little bit at All-Star break and decided to go a different direction. And I think that, you know, they're just trying to do what they can. Right. And they made their decisions, and so they're going to try and, you know, build up the best organization possible. And I think that they're trying to make that really well known across, you know, the entire city. Hey, we're trying to build this thing for the long haul and trying to build it with the right, you know, with the right pieces in place. And so I think that, you know, we have a lot of young guys that are in place that are really good players, really good guys. And I think they're going to continue that trend, you know, with some of the draft picks.
How would you contrast your Sacramento experience with some of the other areas you've been in?
It's been a unique experience because of the shift. You know, I've been a part of teams that were rebuilding. I've been a part of teams that were playoff teams. I've been a part of teams that were young teams. So I've kind of been a part of all types of teams. I've never been on a team that was kind of built to try and make the playoffs and then shifts, you know, midseason to let's rebuild.
Right.
So I never had to go through that process before this year. You know, being a veteran though on this team, it's been very rewarding to see Scal and see Willie, to see Big Papa, you know, and all these young guys starting to develop and get playing time and you know, see their confidence start growing. And so, you know, in the future, I think that's going to bode well for the organization.
Well, let's go around. I'm just doing like one quick advice. If you guys could give some advice, I'll start with Josiah. Just advice that you might give that younger player that is coming up through. He has a dream of being an excellent basketball player, or maybe even writing a joke book. Any advice for how to win, Josiah?
Just having faith in God and extreme work ethic. You can achieve anything you want to. You can achieve anything you put your mind to.
Chris, how about you? Any closing thoughts? Advice to that next guy in the line? You're really more than many people I know, almost anybody. You're committed to helping that next guy in line. What advice might you give?
You know, I think the biggest advice I would give is go. You know, there's so many people that are just teetering on the fence, whether it's an idea that they want to pursue, whether it's a business that they want to start, whether it's a side business that they want to do after their day job. And a lot of people get into the mindset of should I or could I? And I think if there's anything, just go. Just take the first step, take the leap, and, you know, dare God to see how it can bless your life.
Don't wake up that old man. I call it old man syndrome. Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Absolutely.
When you're talking about all the good old days that you could have done something, but the other people have actually gone out and achieved it. How about you, Anthony? Closing thoughts, advice to the next guy in line?
Yeah. Nothing replaces hard work. Absolutely. You, just like Chris mentioned, you know, if you have a desire in your heart and you want to achieve something, the only way you're going to do that is by taking that first step and by taking that leap of faith and, you know, depending on something bigger than yourself. You know, we have to do our part. We have to put in the work ourselves. We have to go through the trials ourselves. We have to be rejected. We have to go through that. But if it's meant for you to do that, all the doors going to open at the right time, in the exact right place. And if it's not meant for you to do that, the doors are going to close. And I just think it's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me making the NBA, it was about, hey, I was going to pursue it with everything I had. If it didn't happen, I would have no regrets because I tried. You know, I did everything I could. And that's how I approach it.
Nothing replaces hard work and living with no regrets. I want to thank you guys for coming on the show today. Anthony, Josiah, Chris, you guys are phenomenal. I want to thank my sponsors, obviously Five Star Bank and all the other people that help make the entrepreneurial revolution a possibility that we can dream of. And I want to take a minute to thank my team. I mean, we talk about working hard, and at Haney Biz, we're trying to make it easy to work hard. We all are thinking about how do I build my business. A lot of our listeners are thinking, how do I build my business? And I'm seeing firsthand some of the struggles that small business people face every day. And so I want to give a little shout out to my team. We call it Haney Biz is going hands on, where Haney Biz is helping offer some backroom support systems in marketing, in accounting, in business planning. We can help you to achieve your dream. So thank you to the Haney Biz folks that bail me out and support me. A little shout out to who's coming on next week. We're going to have Titan Gilroy of Titan America. And we're also going to have State Senator Ted Gaines. When we return, I will share my closing thoughts on gratitude. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited. This is the Haney Biz Project. And you know what? We had a great show today. I am alone for the last few minutes of the show. And all that comes to mind is the subject of gratitude and thinking about what Josiah, what Anthony, and what Chris had to say today about their appreciation for their faith, their family, in our hometown of Sacramento. And I got to take a minute to say thank you once again to the guy that made it possible for me to have this show, Mr. Scott Marsh of CBS. He was there at the beginning. He is here today as I see out my two-year tour with CBS. And I just have to say, Scott, without you, I would not be here, and I appreciate you so much and CBS. And we are making a move next month over to another radio station. We're going to revamp the show a little bit. We're going to call it the Haney Biz Project, igniting the Sacramento's entrepreneurial revolution. And I just got a text from Uriah, says he's going to come on and share the mic with me. He'll be on the show our first day, but I'll have Marcus Haney along with me, and a new player to the team, Caroline Gaines. She will be joining us as well. We're going to spice it up a little bit. And I really appreciate the opportunity that I've had here at CBS. And I thank my customers, my team, You know, we got to. We also have to think about our suppliers when we're thinking about gratitude, and we got to think about our community and who really has made our opportunities possible. And I think, you know, we don't talk as much about our customer as maybe you might think that we ought to, but we do need to appreciate our customer. And because I think it's in listening to our customer that we get. You know, we get so much. And I want to tell us a quick story about a customer that really helped me along the line. My first entrepreneurial venture was actually a paper route. And I showed up at Andy Boss's house, and I was helping him with this paper route. I'm about 10 years old. And Andy, you know, he gives me a little bit of responsibility, lets me kind of help handle part of the route. And the next thing you know, Andy's done with his paper route, and he gives the 10-year-old kid, Mark Haney, the Sacramento Union paper route. And, you know, I remember going around. I recruited my brother to help me deliver the newspapers. And I remember going around. I was pretty good at throwing the papers. I usually got it on the porch. Sometimes it was on the driveway or on the walk. But I usually did a pretty good job. And my job at the end of the month was to go around back in the day and collect. And what you did is you went door to door knocking, and you say collecting for the Sacramento Union. And I think it was like $2.35, I think. And I remember going to Mr. Schmidt's house. Mr. Schmidt was the president of the local Little League. Mr. Schmidt was the owner of the local A&W restaurant. Mr. Schmidt was respected. And I went around and I showed up at Mr. Schmidt's house to collect for the union, and he pays me the money, and he says, "Hey, Mark, can I give you a little bit of advice?" And I listened to what Mr. Schmidt said. He said, "Mark, you do a great job on delivering. I'm really happy you're better than Andy Boss was, I can tell you that, but I think you have room for improvement. I mean, sometimes it's on my porch, sometimes the paper's on the sidewalk, and my sprinklers come on early, and the paper gets wet, and then it's tough for me to read. So, Mark, what do you think about putting it on the porch all the time?" And I thought to myself, wow, yeah. And he said, "Mark, you know what? There may be something in it for you at the end of the month if you were able to put it on the porch all the time." And a light bulb went off. I went home that night, and Paul and I, my brother, my business partner, we were laying in bed talking about Mr. Schmidt's advice that I had listened to, and we went back and forth about what should we do about this. And I said, "Paul, why don't we put it on the porch every time? What do you think about that?" And he's like, "Yeah, I think that's a good idea." And I said, "Well, what about if we put it on the ledge? You know, that little walkway area where you walk in to the house?" And Paul's like, "That's a great idea, but I got one better. How about we lean it up against the door, so that when Mr. Schmidt opens the door, the newspaper actually falls into the house?" And I'm like, "Yeah, in-home delivery, baby." And we did it. We started tipping up those newspapers against the house, against the door, and creating an in-home delivery that was a differentiated product. And we saw our sales growth. So, I mean, one of the ways that we can show gratitude, I think, is listening to our customer and doing the job. Sometimes it's so basic, but sometimes the best way to say thank you, the best way to show our appreciation, is by listening. And if we can find a way to listen and then over-deliver, especially when the emotions are higher, whether it's a customer complaint or maybe a celebration, any time when the emotions are high, wow, what a great time to be listening and over-delivering, because that's when the magic happens. Banging when there's the game on the line. And I want to take a minute to say thank you to a friend of mine who had her 50th birthday the other day. She's a mom, and I want to back up a little bit. With it being Mother's Day, I talk about my parents a little bit on this show. But my mom had a brain aneurysm when I was in my mid-20s, shortly thereafter, my dad got cancer and ended up passing away. My mom's been in assisted living for the last 30 years. And you know what? I do appreciate the values that she gave me and the philosophies that both my parents shared with me that I think have helped shape me to who I am. So I can't let Mother's Day weekend go by without saying thank you to my mom, thank you to my dad, and thank you to my wife who stood by there unselfishly all this time. And a mother that is a friend of mine, her name is Jamie Carlson, and we were at her 50th birthday the other day, and she's a proud Army mom of... She's got two kids, and her son Brian spent some time in Afghanistan, and she had her 50th birthday. She was talking about gratitude. She was talking about how much she appreciated her friendships, how much she appreciated her family, and she talked about something that she called the dash, and that we ought to live our dash. And if you picture our lives, and at the end, our final resting place might have a tombstone, and it may say 1963-dash something else, and that we have to live that dash. And she shared with us, the people at the party, a poem, and I'm gonna go over that real quick as we think about gratitude, because we won't be here forever. Here's how it goes. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone, from the beginning to the end. The poem went on to talk about purpose and how in the end, winning is so much more than cash. So when your eulogy is being read with life actions to rehash, will you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? And with my mom in mind, with my children's mother in mind, with the moms of Sacramento in the front of our mind, let's ignite this entrepreneurial revolution in Sacramento together. Let's roll up our sleeves and fight the good fight. And let's live this incredible opportunity, the brief dash, together. I wish you the strength and the courage to go the extra mile, the courage and the strength to listen, the courage and the strength to over-deliver in showing your gratitude. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.